Blog Talk Radio.
Joshua, fit the battle of Jericho. Jericho, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Jericho, Jericho, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. You can talk about your men of Gideon. Talk about your men of war, but nothing like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Well, 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 Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Jericho, Jericho, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
Hello, Blog Talk family. This is Leslie Gish. You're listening to the Gist of Freedom show. Tonight we have a very special guest. Her name is Mrs. Adila Barnes. Are you on the line?
I'm here.
Great, great. Ms. Barnes, could you introduce yourself to our Blog Talk family?
I'm sorry. Can you say that again, Leslie?
Would you please introduce yourself to our Blog Talk radio family?
Yes. My name is Adila Barnes, and I'm an actor, a producer, a writer, writer's retreat proprietor, acting instructor. Did I say that? I wear a lot of hats. I'm a juggler.
All right. I learned about you through a good friend, and we were just listening to her music, Emzuri.
Yes, Emzuri. That was Emzuri I just heard as I was waiting.
Right.
She has an incredible voice, just incredible, deep, rich, and comes from the ancestors. Wonderful voice.
Could you tell the audience how you and Emzuri worked together, and so we can just jump right into the historical part of your work that you're doing out in L.A.?
Sure. I met Emzuri when she submitted for my Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival, which has now been around for 17 years. We just celebrated our 17th annual festival in March. Always during Women's History Month, and it just so happened, this was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, Emzuri submitted a piece that she has on Fannie Lou Hamer called The Fannie Lou Hamer Story, and just wowed the screening panel. We selected her, and she's come back to perform that at least 3 times, and more recently this year when she came back again, she performed it as well, and did a second piece on Sojourner Truth. So we have a long creative history together.
Now, could you explain to the audience exactly how you came about organizing this program, this phenomenal program you have in L.A.?
The Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival, yes. It began, as I mentioned, in 1993. That's when we were founded. And it just so happened at that time I had gone to a touring roster conference that was put on by the California Arts Council. And at that time, they had a program where if you were selected, you would be part of this directory where any theaters, city facilities, organizations that might want to have an artist come could look in that book that was like a stamp of approval from the state of California. And I happened to be one of the touring roster performers, and I met a woman at the conference, Miriam Reed, who was not part of the roster, but who wanted to be a part of it. And she and I were at the conference, and we connected because she portrays historical women who are Anglo, mine are African American. And at the end of the conference, they asked everyone to come together in this big room. And Miriam Reed had the bright and visionary idea to suggest that she go up to the podium when they asked for announcements to see if there were any other female solo artists in the room. And I told her I thought it was a great idea. So she made the announcement. I raised my hand for people to see me in the back of the room. And we were bombarded with all these incredible solo artists, all the way from actors to dancers, storytellers, performance artists, performance poets, musicians, singers, you name it. And we knew at that point we were on to something. And two of the women belonged to a local theater called the Burbank Little Theater. They invited us there for the first meeting, and many of those same women came. And by the end of that first evening, the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival was born.
Now, how many artists did join that first year? How many artists?
I think we produced that first year that we had our first annual festival. We must have presented a good 20 women that performed. Of course, it wasn't necessarily the women from that touring roster conference. We created a flyer. We put the word out. So we had submissions. We had screening panel. And then we made decisions as to who would be offered a slot for that first festival.
Now, how many did you have in this last festival?
This festival that just ended, we had, I think, about 23 women at our annual festival. And then eight other women performed at our second location, which was a celebration for the 25th anniversary of the city of West Hollywood.
Okay. Could you just give the audience your website for both?
Yes. The website for the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival is www.lawtf.com, as in Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival. And, in fact, we're receiving submissions now. So if one is interested who is a solo artist, they can go to our website, get the guidelines, get the application, and submit now.
Now let's talk about your career.
Okay.
You have a wonderful career. I have your bio posted on the Blog Talk Radio Show's website.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And it's just awesome. And you're the first celebrity guest that the Gist of Freedom has had. So we're really excited.
Oh, my pleasure. What an honor.
Okay. Just tell us about your experience with the Roseanne show.
I worked on Roseanne for 5 seasons. And I had a recurring role as Anne Marie, her girlfriend from high school. And fortunately, we're still in reruns on Nick at Night and some of the other stations. So thank goodness for Roseanne. We are still getting residual checks to this very day and meeting new audiences as others are becoming available to watch us and to see the show now. So interesting side note about that is that I was touring my one-woman show called I Am That I Am Woman Black. And, I was touring another one-woman show before my own one-woman show called Sister, Can I Speak for You? That's part of the African-American Drama Company in San Francisco. And it just so happened that I was touring, and oftentimes when I would tour with them on the road, if I had 2 shows and say one was at the beginning of the week and one was at the end of the week, I might stay out on the road if the two were in a close proximity of each other. Well, this particular week, something just felt like, and I felt, very strongly that I wanted to come back to L.A. So I told the artistic director and the founder, Philip Walker, that I really wanted to go home and then come back out for the second show at the end of the week. Little did I know that my first mind was guiding me back to L.A. because once I got back, I had an audition for the Roseanne show. So I then understood why I so strongly felt that need to come back home, and I'm sure glad I followed my intuition. And so I auditioned for it, got the role. It was supposed to be a guest starring role for 1 episode only. And I knew something was up when that evening after it aired, I was teaching when it aired, teaching an acting class, and that was during the time that everybody had answering machines. So I got home and answering machine was lit up. All these people had seen Roseanne. And one of the messages was from Don Foster, who was the writer who created my character. And he said, Adele, I'm just calling to let you know that we're watching you on the show and really appreciated your work. And I thought, geez, I've never been called from a writer of a TV show. That must mean that they're interested in bringing the character back. And sure enough, they did. They brought me back. They added my husband, James Pickens, who plays the chief surgeon on Grey's Anatomy. They gave us a son. We became a family. So something that was supposed to be a one-episode opportunity turned into five seasons, so you just never know.
Right, right. Now, I know that you're an acting coach. Were you teaching and coaching at the time when you got
yes.
this audition?
Yes, I've been teaching now, I've been teaching over 30 years. So, yes, I was teaching at the time. I still teach. I teach acting workshops. I coach privately. I teach a touring workshop for those who have solo shows who want to learn how to tour and get on the road with their works. And I also teach writing classes. So at that time, I was teaching acting classes.
Was the show aware of your extensive background when they called you?
They probably did know. They had access to my resume.
Okay. All right.
So
and
they
were
probably
you a fan of Roseanne?
I'm sorry, what?
Were you a fan of Roseanne?
Actually, to tell you the truth, I really wasn't a fan of the show. Oh, someone's beeping, but I'll have to call them back when we're done. So if you hear
Thank
a
you.
Beep sound, that's someone trying to get a hold of me on the phone. Actually, at that time, I really wasn't a fan of the show. But as a result of working on the show, I certainly began to tune in on the show and really appreciated being a part of the cast.
And do you keep in contact with any of the members of the cast?
Actually, I don't. And, you know, usually when you work on a show, unless there's a really particular bond that you have with someone, usually when it's over, that's the life of the show, and you move on to the work that follows.
Wow, that's pretty cold. But that's
well, not necessarily cold. It's just that, you know, you come together as artists, as actors to do the work. You don't choose to be in the same cast. You just kind
right.
of are cast in the same cast. And if it becomes something more than that, that's wonderful. But if it doesn't, you still have that wonderful on-camera relationship with each other, which is also
it's,
very
it
valuable.
It seems as though it's like an independent relationship that most everybody works independently. That's not a negative.
No, it's not. It's
I
not.
Think it's
I mean, it's the real world. Everybody has a life. And acting is what I do. It's not who I am.
Okay.
So that's my career choice, but I have a world outside of being an actor.
And with that said, you have your author, correct?
That's right. That's right.
And you also have your one-woman shows.
That's right.
Which one do you want to talk about first? Your book?
Let's talk about the book since you mentioned the book first.
Okay.
The book is called On My Own Terms, One Actor's Journey. And it chronicles my life, starting at the age 16 as an actor. So it's about a little young girl, country girl, snaggletooth, ashy-kneed, growing up in a small country town in Northern California, and all the angels who have guided me along the way on my path. And I'm proud to say that the book that came out in December of 2008 is now an Essence Magazine bestseller. It came in number 3 in June of 2009 behind President Obama's books that came in number 1 and 2. So that was pretty good company to be in, and I didn't mind that he got number 1 and 2. And so I received that honor. Also, the book received a 2009 African American Literary Award nomination, and it was selected also by my publishers for an author spotlight. So I'm very proud of my book. It's self-published because it really has created a life of its own.
When did you come up with the idea to write this book?
Actually, the idea came up, probably around 2004, 2005. And prior to that, when I was a teacher at the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, I had a particular class that gave me this beautiful book, bound book that had dried flowers on the cover, a white book with dried flowers. And they put a note inside, everybody signed it, and they said, this is for when you write your acting book. And I thought, acting book? That was just nowhere on the horizon in terms of my consciousness at that time, and that was the mid-1980s. And then in probably around 2000, pardon?
You said 2004.
Yes, around that time, that's when I decided it was time to actually, well, my class gave me the book back in the mid-80s when I taught at the American Conservatory Theater, and I've used it on set as a prop for my Mary McLeod Bethune character when I do my one-woman show, but I never really took the thought of writing a book any further until around 2003, 2004, when I felt it was time to write that book that my students had planted the seed for back in the 80s. And I first had the notion of writing an acting book that would be a very linear acting book, like Stanislavski, Uta Hagen, Viola Spolin, those kind of people. But it wasn't coming to me that way. And I spoke with a friend by the name of Brandy Ami, who is also an actor. And I said, Brandy, I'm trying to write this acting book, and it's just not coming. I want to talk about so much more than how-to acting. I want to talk about my experiences, too. I want to talk about touring. And she said, well, you can do that, too. And when she said that, it was like a eureka moment, like a light bulb went on in my head. And I thought, I got it. I can use my life as a backdrop and still have something to say about the process of acting. So that's how I then shifted my direction so that each chapter is about the dots along the way that are connected in my book, My Journey as an Actor. So, in fact, there is a chapter on me touring.
Two questions. Do you think that your book will ever be adapted as a play, a movie, or a one-woman show?
That's an interesting question. At my second book signing here in North Hollywood where I live, it was at a theater, the Avery Schreiber Theater. One of the people in the audience said, so when your book becomes a movie, who's going to play you? And I said, oh, my gosh, I hadn't even thought about the book being a movie. And I said, you've planted another seed for me. So I don't know what it'll become, but there are a number of people who have read the book who say, I see this as a movie. So it's already been willed that way, so maybe it will come to pass that it will become a movie.
Awesome. Now, is your book...
However,
online?
It's complete within itself as a book. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is your book online? Can you read it online?
No,
Kindle?
It's not. You can't get the Kindle version of it at this point, although I think I'll do that with Amazon. But people can order it from me directly at my website. I will autograph any books that are ordered. And that address is Adila, spelled A-D-I-L-A-H. Barnes, B-A-R-N-E-S, Adila Barnes at yahoo.com. No, actually, they can go to my website at www.adilabarnes.com. I'm sorry. And that would be, again, A-D-I-L-A-H-B-A-R-N-E-S.com, www.adilabarnes.com. I have so many addresses. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Now, Mrs. Barnes, Adila, that is a very unique name. Can you
mm-hmm.
tell the audience if it has a meaning in the origins of the name?
It does. It's an Arabic name, and it means one who deals justly.
Okay. Was that your given name?
That was not my given name. That was my chosen name. I took that name on just before my son was born, so that must have been around, about 1976.
1976. What was going on to make you choose that particular name?
Well, at that time, I was in a relationship with my son's father, who also was Muslim. Not also. He was Muslim. I was not. And so I was very heavily influenced by the Muslim religion. And he had a book of names, and I began to look in that book, and I thought, ooh, these are wonderful names. I love these attributes, the meanings. And I came upon the name Adila, and I said, that's the name I'm going to change my name to.
Wow.
And that's what I did.
Okay. Now, we talked about your books. Now let's talk about your one-woman shows. And
yes,
as a child,
it's called, pardon?
Let's get back to when you were a child. Did anyone?
Okay, first, do you want to go with the book? You want to go with the One Woman Show, or you want to go back to childhood?
I want to go back to childhood. As far as did anyone see that you were an actress at a young age? Did you put
yes.
on plays as a little kid?
Yeah. Yes. Well, not so much plays as a child, but every Easter and Christmas, as many of your listeners probably will be able to relate to, I was in the programs, the Easter program, the Christmas program at church, and I really enjoyed that, but I still didn't think about becoming an actor. It wasn't until I was age 16 in Project Upward Bound at Chico State up in Northern California near Oroville where I grew up that I took my first acting class in Project Upward Bound, a three-year program that many of your listeners probably are familiar with or may have gone through the program themselves.
Well, we had a guest. We had a director from an Upward Bound program on our show maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Well, I feel about that program like many people feel about the American flag. It really just absolutely changed my life. And so that's when I was in my first play, and that play was by Milne, and A.A. Milne, and it was called The Ugly Duckling.
Okay.
From there, I played the queen, and from there I just continued to act. I absolutely loved it.
Okay, when you decided to write your first one-woman show, did you draw from anything that you experienced in the Upward Bound program?
Not specifically. However, I did draw upon much from my own life. As I began to shade in these seven women that I portray, the name of the one-woman show is I Am That I Am, Woman Black, and I portray Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Mary McLeod Bethune, Zora Neale Hurston, Lorraine Hansberry, Angela Davis, and Maya Angelou. So many of the women in my community, it was like a southern town that was airlifted and dropped in California because you had so many people that were from the South who had a very strong southern sensibility. Many of the cadences of the language in some of the women in my show really goes back to women that I knew in my own community, some of my elders.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Now, for our young listeners, do you want to give them a little snippet historically about each one of the women that you portray?
A snippet of what, dear?
Their background, their history, you know.
One of the women?
Yes, Sojourner Truth. Just a little bit.
Sojourner was an amazing woman. Sojourner.
Excuse me, we have static. Is that your phone? Or is
that may be mine. Let me move to a different space. Sojourner Truth, who of course lived during slavery, she actually had been told by one of her masters that when she had a particular birthday that he would free her. So that birthday came and went, and he did not keep his word. And at that point she said, I've just got to leave. So she made the decision to become a runaway, and she got her freedom. Now, this was in the state of New York. Many people don't know there was slavery in New York, but there was. And she actually was quite revolutionary for her time, ahead of her time in so many ways. She went to court twice to take two cases to court. And actually won her cases. That was unheard of at that time, just unheard of. She was quite an orator. Pardon?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
She was quite an orator. And she was one who not only fought slavery, but she also fought for women's rights and for prison rights. She was an amazing woman.
Now, before I interviewed you, I read your bio.
Mm-hmm.
I read that you were part of the White House ceremony for Sojourner
Yes,
Truth.
I went back when they did the unveiling of the bust for Sojourner Truth. I was invited back there. There were about four of us who portrayed Sojourner Truth who were present at the Capitol, and it was quite an event. The First Lady was there. Nancy Pelosi was there. We had Hillary Clinton. It was quite an affair. It was really an honor to be there, and it was breathtaking when they removed the cloth and we saw this beautiful bust of Sojourner Truth.
I know you took a lot of pictures. How are you going to explain this story to your family, your grands? And
well, I have one grandson, and I will just share with him whatever questions he would like answered, I will answer them. certainly there are photos that will be there, and also my personal stories.
I think that's the whole story, your story, the story of the White House and the story of Sojourner, you know, you can't get any...
It's amazing.
Anything that, I mean, that's a movie in itself right there.
I hear you.
I mean, that's just awesome. You can't get any better than having you, Sojourner, the bus, just...
And our first lady, everybody was there. It was amazing.
Everyone. Continue with your story. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So basically, that's that. Shifting now to the one-woman show further, the show began in 1990, so it's been around now. This was my 20th anniversary touring my show. It's now been to 40 states. It's also been to 3 continents, North America, including the U.S. and the Caribbean, Europe and Africa. So I'm very proud to have shared the women, the 7 women that I portray, with so many audiences and so many places and so many different kinds of venues. Most recently, I took it out of the country to Holland in November, and it was really well received. Second time taking it to Holland, very well received there.
Oh, wow. You said Holland and Africa?
Yeah.
Africa. Mm-hmm. What was it like when you went to Africa?
It was amazing. It was really amazing. I've been twice, both times to Nigeria. The first time I was asked to come and teach acting, which I did, for something called Bob TV. They had a big conference, and they had all these workshops. And I taught 3 acting classes, and one of them was so big, they had to move it into a bigger room. And I looked out over this sea of people. I had about 100 people sitting there. It was amazing. So what I did was I taught by lecture demonstration. I would talk about an element of acting, and then I'd have a couple of volunteers come up, and I'd do exercises with them to apply the principles. That's the only way I could have taught with 100 people. And then the second time I went back, I was asked to be a judge at the African Movie Awards, and that was pretty amazing. These are the awards that they have every year in Nigeria, and all the different countries in Africa that want to submit, such as Zimbabwe, South Africa, Ghana, wherever, Botswana, they submit their films for consideration, and then they have a big ceremony. So it was like going to the Oscars when we had the ceremony in Nigeria.
Now, you went all over, practically all over the world to teach and to perform your one-woman show.
Mm-hmm.
You also taught a lot of celebrities as well.
Yes,
you want to
I have.
About that?
You've done your homework. I've worked with celebrities such as Toni Braxton, Jada Pinkett Smith, Benjamin Bratt, Don D.C. Curry, Kim Whitley, Florence LaRue. The list just goes on. I've worked with many, many, many well-known people.
How do they find you out of all the people that are teaching acting?
Well, different people find me different ways. In the case of Toni Braxton, she had been hired to be in the movie Kingdom Come. And because she's an extraordinary vocalist, they really wanted to make sure that as an actor, she was well prepared when she got in front of the camera to act. So it just so happened that some casting directors that I know, some African-American casting directors, they knew me as an acting teacher. They had her people call me, ask me if they could give my number to Toni. Toni then called me, and I began to work with her. I worked with her on the movie Kingdom Come. Another movie played, and I also went to Toronto, Canada with her to work on the series that Taye Diggs was in, Kevin Hill.
Well, you did an exceptional job with Jada Pinkett Smith in the movie Set It Off.
Thank you. And actually, she was talented before she came to me, and I really only worked with her briefly in terms of doing script analysis and character analysis, meaning to say that my job with her was to tear apart the text and be really clear on choices she was making for her character, the intellectual part of her work. That's what I worked with her on.
Oh, okay.
Because she intuitively has such a good sense as an actor. It was really the academic part of it that she wanted me for.
Okay. Any stories you want to share about your experience as a coach or any?
I've had some incredible experiences, all the way with being with celebrities on set to working with those who are taking acting classes for the first time. And I think probably one of the most heartwarming stories was working, having an acting class where I had one actor. He was a beginning actor, had never acted before, wasn't particularly talented. However, he worked really, really, really hard, and by the end of that session, he was the one who shone the most because he worked really hard, and that touched my heart.
Okay. I love history, and I think that what you're doing with your one-woman show and the festival in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
is incredible, and I like to, we have about 10 minutes to talk about, you know, the historical side of your work, and you already explained what influenced you. Can we talk more about the other six women?
Yes, of course, we've talked about the first I portray, that's Sojourner, and then there's Harriet Tubman, who was also amazing, and more people probably know about Harriet Tubman than they do about Sojourner Truth.
Right.
And one of the things about Harriet that I find so fascinating is that even though as a young child she had been hit with a metal piece that hit her forehead and caused her to have these sleeping spells, even at that, because it was her calling to be the Moses of our people, she still helped all those people escape to freedom. They had a $40,000 reward out on her head. And that, at that time, was a lot of money. They wanted her so badly because they felt that with every slave that she helped to escape, that was equivalent to money being lost by the masters, and they did not want to lose their investment in us as property.
And every time one person escaped, the likelihood of another one escaping would increase.
That's very possible. She helped over 300 slaves escape, including her parents and her brothers and sisters. Amazing woman. And then the third woman I portray, Mary McLeod Bethune, was really quite a woman in her own right, quite a visionary. She started school with $1.50, and little girls that she made sure came to class every day in their starched clothing. And she had friends in high places like Mr. Singer of Singer Sewing Machine and the Rockefeller family. And what began as a school for girls turned into Bethune-Cookman College. She was so powerful, they called her the second lady next to Eleanor Roosevelt, who she was very close friends with at that time.
Okay.
And then our fourth woman, that is Zora Neale Hurston, also very powerful as an anthropologist, a folklorist, a novelist, who was considered to be one who was the toast of the Harlem Renaissance in the 20s. And she was just an amazing woman. Her ear was so attuned to the cadences and rhythms of our language that she wrote in folklore in very authentic voices. And she would oftentimes, she grew up in the all-black town of Edenville, Florida, and she would oftentimes go to the little store across the street from her home and just take her time going inside because she wanted to hear the grown folks talking on the porch and would try to take in as much as she could because during that time children, of course, couldn't sit on a porch with adults. And so she would have to just kind of linger as she was going in the little store to hear what she could. And in fact, I went to Edenville, Florida when I performed nearby and I got to see that same little corner store. And I saw where the house used to be. It's now a fire station. But they have a huge, beautiful rock in front of it that says Zora Neale Hurston, Edenville's first daughter. She jumped the sun, because that was the name of one of her pieces, Jumped the Sun. So she was pretty amazing in her own right. And Alice Walker, of course, went down to Florida and put a headstone about where we think her grave was, because she had an unmarked grave by the time she died. She died penniless and really would have been unknown in that spot had Alice not gone down there to honor her in that way. And then the fifth woman, Lorraine Hansberry, the first African-American produced on Broadway for her play, A Raisin in the Sun. Extraordinary woman and so ahead of her time as a civil rights advocate and as a writer, as a playwright. And then number six is Angela Davis, who, of course, is still alive and at one time was on the 10 most wanted list of the FBI because they felt she had something to do with the murders that took place in Marin County when George Jackson, one of the Soledad brothers, in an attempt to have him released from prison by his younger brother, Jonathan. Jonathan died, and so did the judge overseeing the case in court that day in Marin County. She, of course, was found not guilty. She was acquitted of all of the charges that they had against her, and then which included kidnapping, conspiracy, and murder. And then also my last woman that I portray is Maya Angelou, and I don't think I need to say much about her since she's still very much in our midst, an incredible woman who has done so much all the way from being a dancer to a writer to a humanitarian.
I didn't know she was a dancer.
She was a dancer in her young days, and I believe she was the first woman to join the Writers Guild as well. She's had quite a history.
Now, what is the common underlying theme that you think all of
these women are share? All women who have achieved amidst seemingly insurmountable odds.
What comment do you normally hear, you know, from audiences?
All kinds of comments.
Is there one?
The kinds of comments, I think, are all the way from thank you so much for sharing about women that I knew nothing about.
Right.
This would be primarily people in other countries or people that are not African American. To comments like recently a student who came up to me after the show that I did in Pennsylvania at Dickinson College who said after seeing that show it's inspired her to do better in college, because if these women could do the things that they did with their barriers and their obstacles, surely she could do better in school.
Now, were there any women that you wanted to include, but for various reasons?
Many, many, many. There are many, many other women that I could easily have included, including my mother. So the list goes on.
She's going to be in your play.
She's in my book. Chapter two is devoted to my mother. The chapter is called Just Call Her Woman of the Soil. She has her own chapter in my book.
Okay. The title of your book?
The title of my book, again, is On My Own Terms, One Actor's Journey.
Okay. And the title of your one-woman show, that is a very
The title of my one-woman show, which is available for bookings, is I Am That I Am, Woman Black.
Okay. Woman Black.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason you chose to say it in that particular way?
Yes, because I wanted it to sound like a statistic.
Wow. Perfect. Okay. As far as your family, what was their response when you first started to write this play?
Write the play or my book?
The play.
They didn't really make any comments about it, but many of them have come to see it, and they're all very, very proud of my work.
Did you spend a lot of time researching?
Yes, I did. And it was those passages that seemed to, of all that research I did, that said, you got to include me, add me in the play. Those are the ones that I kept, those passages. And so I would say that about 99% of everything I say in the book is in the words of the women. I speak through their voices, so I am what one audience member called me, a channeler of history.
I spend a lot of time at the Schomburg. Do you have a particular favorite place?
I'm sorry, say it again?
I spend a lot of time at the Schomburg in Harlem.
Yes, I've been there. I've been there, yes.
Do you have a favorite place to research when you're writing these acts?
Well, it's only been the one-woman show. And oftentimes I would go to different libraries and I'd go to books and I'd watch videos. So it was a number of different ways that I did the research.
We're down to our last 5 minutes.
Okay.
And I would like for you to just, you know, express yourself, whatever's on your mind, and to also promote. You mentioned that you're available for booking.
Yes, I am.
Okay, if you want to give all of your
Yes, if people are interested in bringing my one-woman show, I Am That I Am Woman Black. They can, again, go to my website at www.adilabarnes.com to say it again. And that's, my name is spelled A-D-I-L-A-H, Barnes, B-A-R-N-E-S.com. The one thing we didn't talk about that I really would like to touch upon in our remaining moments is my writer's retreat that I have in Georgia. It's a writer's retreat for women, and it's called The Writer's Well, and it's available to women who would like to come and have a quiet, serene, safe, woodsy environment to create. It's about 30 minutes south of the Atlanta airport in Sharpsburg. And so if there are any writers out there who either have stories inside of them that they'd like to get out or have something that they've worked on that they want to wipe the dust off of, I welcome them to come. So again, if they go to my website, they'll see a page for The Writer's Well. And they can also go to www.writersretreat.com, the Georgia location, to see pictures and learn more about my writer's retreat for women.
Where do these great ideas come from? Where do you get
Over time. Keep in mind, I just celebrated my 60th birthday in March, so I've got a lot of mileage on me, and I've been blessed to really have a very rich and fertile career and life. And so being the visionary and the trailblazer that I am, I just continually think of something else.
And how long have you had this retreat program?
This has been since 2007, 3 years.
All right. Anything else you'd like to share?
I'm sorry, what?
Anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
Yes, there was something I was about to say, and when you made your comment, I forgot what it was, and it seemed like it was something that was important to me. What was that thought? It was something I really wanted to make sure I said, but I can't think of what it is now.
Well, you have time. We'll go right back to it. I know we were talking about the women's retreat.
Correct.
And we were talking about...
Oh, and by the way, the women's retreat has attracted women from all over the world. I've had two guests from Ghana and many from around the country. I know what it was. What I wanted to say was that this has been a very special year as I move into my 60th year. Not only have I toured extensively, even more than I sometimes tour this year, in my Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival. This was one of our best years to date in terms of extraordinary talent, wonderful houses, appreciative audiences. In addition to that, this year I received, for the first time, a Lifetime Achievement Award. This came from the American Legacy Gala Awards in Minneapolis, where they also have established a scholarship for children in the Minneapolis Public Schools, and the scholarship is in my name. It's called the Adila Barnes Arts and Literary Achievement Scholarship, and I actually visited one of the schools where the kids will get the scholarship, and it was just an incredible experience, a wonderfully managed school, and the kids were so polite, the school so beautifully kept, and you would never know that 90% of these kids are from poverty. It was run, is run, like a private school. And then when I came back to L.A. during that same week, I just received also a Spirit of Peace Award here in Los Angeles from the Stop the Violence, Increase the Peace Foundation. So I feel particularly honored this year in my 60th year with so many wonderful gifts coming my way.
Well, I want to congratulate you on all of your awards. And Zori speaks very highly of you.
Oh, thank you, Leslie.
And, you know, I had to have you on here. You're a perfect guest, and I'm honored that you accepted the invitation.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
And I think we're going to get a lot of downloads because
good.
Yes. Most of our people download the show when we get comments and I get emails.
Excellent. Please pass on some of them to me if you would.
I will. And
okay.
Again, thank you. And we want to leave your website one more time.
Yes, and that website address for me personally is www.adilabarnes.com, A-D-I-L-A-H-B-A-R-N-E-S.com. The website for my writer's well is www.writersretreat.com, Georgia location. And the website for, what else do I need? Oh, for the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival is www.lawtf.com.
Excellent. Thank you again, Mrs. Barnes, and I look forward to having you back on the show. And I hope that you're going to be in the New York area because I want to see it.
Oh, wonderful. I will let you know when I'm in New York again.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you, and take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.